or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, welcome to the show. How are all you great stewards of the land doing out there today? It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Wow, what a great weekend. Our current weather is, we got a lot of rain this weekend. Did you get some rain up there, Jimmy?
It's showering right now.
Oh, cool. Anyway, it's just amazing what's going on this summer. I mean, not everybody this weekend got some rain. It's like my house, I got 1.3 inches. And down south where the cattle are down at Willow, where it's actually burning up right now, it didn't even wet the road. But current conditions right now are 79 degrees, dew point 71 degrees, yep, and humidity is 75, so it's muggy. The wind's out of the east. Not bad for a Monday in August, wouldn't you say, Jimmy?
Oh, yeah, it's perfect weather for August.
It's great. Well, I got a couple things to go over before we get into heavy conversation with our guests. If you guys were lucky enough to get rain this weekend, there's some rain happening out there right now up there by Higgins and up there north of Canadian and on the state line west to Arnett and Shattuck. That old cloud's been sitting there all morning, and I've seen where some areas had already got 4 inches of rain this morning. Wow. I hope that moves a little south because we'd like to have a little pond filler before the winter gets here. Sure. So I know there's some alfalfa growers out there in my listening area that would love to enter this contest because there's $26,000 in cash prizes. You're going to have to send your sample all the way up to Minnesota, but it's located in the Trade Center during the World Dairy Expo. The World Forage Analysis Super Bowl Contest invites forage producers to enter their highest quality forages in 8 different categories. More than $26,000 in cash will be awarded to the top samples in 2021. This year, the forage expert from the U.S. Dairy Forage Research, University of Wisconsin, and other research centers will also present cutting-edge information during the virtual daily forage seminars. So that means you don't have to be there. You can do it on virtual. $26,000. If you want some information, text me in on the KCO Ag text line at 580-225-9697. Also, I have a gentleman that texted in here just a while ago, and he's looking for 3 to 5 year old cows. Black Angus, probably preferably. He wants some decal. He wants some heavy bred. So if anybody's got any heavy bred cows they would like to give up for this gentleman, he's got 100 acres of grass and he's wanting to get started. And his number is 580-821-0435. If you can help a guy out with some reasonably priced heavy bred cows, it'd be appreciated. They can be, and if you don't have any, but you got some nice ones that are going to start calving in February or March, he probably considered that too. So again, 821-0435. And I appreciate you, sir, texting in wanting to look for some cattle. Also, it's getting that time of the year where we're going to, I know with all this rain, we got some ranchers and farmers out there chomping at the bit to get some early wheat in. But I got a warning for you. The army worms are terrible this year. They're not just in this area. They're in the whole state of Oklahoma, Texas Panhandle. I read some stuff on social media last night. The army worms are taking over Kansas. And it's a bad year for army worms. And they're in my garden. They're eating my cantaloupe. I mean, these suckers are hungry. You guys need to pay attention to that, and you also need to make a game plan if you're going to put in some early pasture, wheat pasture, and rye pasture. Not only do we have army worms, but we have an abundance of grasshoppers. and consider the pricing, the cost it's going to cost you if you do get it in and it comes up, because those armyworms, once they eat that wheat and rye down, you're basically done. And there was one of the guys, Jared Athan, that works here in the studio, he, first thing he come in this morning, he didn't even say good morning, I got armyworms, and he's got them in his yard, and they're killing yards. So you guys need to pay attention to these armyworms, but think about the cost of having to spray armyworms versus getting your wheat crop in a few weeks early. And the grasshoppers, I mean, man, everything, the chemicals cost is way up this year. And you need to think about doing that early, because as my old landlord says with the old myth he's got, he said, you might as well wait till that first frost or freeze, Jimmy, because it ain't going to do you no good right now. So, and I don't graze anyhow, all mine's for hay, but I'm just throwing that out there. But we have in the ag room today, the KCO ag room, I got a special guest from Dewey County, Jimmy Emmons. Did I say that right?
Yep.
Emmons? All right. I'm not very good at last names. Ask the lady that runs the conservation over there. It's Cassandra.
Yeah.
I screwed that up four times in that deal of interview. He's in here, and we're going to be talking about his new job with the Oklahoma Conservation Commission. We're going to be talking about soil as an asset, why we need to invest in it as a state and a government, the regeneration of soils. We got all kinds of things that we're going to be talking about. So we'll be right back after this. And, oh, I got a couple of new sponsors today.
Cool.
The show's gaining popularity, and I want to appreciate all the feedback that we're getting from everybody. This weekend I ran into guys over at SARE, calls and social media. They're really enjoying the show, and it's been fun. We're starting week number 6, and I believe from our research we're the only live 1-hour ag show in Oklahoma. And so I want you guys to help me make it better, and if you can, just give me, I'll get rid of my uhs and my so's eventually. I'm just 6 weeks into this. I'm not a trained professional, but we're having fun doing this anyway. And my wife lost money on the bet for the cussing part. And so, but just got another text in, and we have Rain and Butler. Raining and Butler. Thanks for texting that in. If you guys are getting rain, text it in. And but we'll be back right after this, and I'm going to talk about my new sponsors. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
We raise registered Red Angus. We sell bulls, heifers, seed stock quality type. Red Angus offer superior marbling. Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus, the maternal traits, and some heat tolerance. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at LMAauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
Once that gets in your blood, you're not going to get it out. Once you are ate up with cattle, farming, agriculture, it's a hard drug to kick. You're putting a crop out there, you're turning your cows out, and watching what you do grow, and watching the things that you take care of, things you care for, move on with their life cycle. just seeing a result from your hard work. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Hey, sports fans, listen up.
Pass up in the air to Culver. Oh, he makes an unbelievable one-handed catch.
If you have a love for Western Oklahoma high school sports, this job is for you. Paragon Communications currently has openings for broadcasters on Paragon TV.
Here's the pitch. Right down the middle, swinging, strike three. Two away.
This entry-level seasonal position offers a great opportunity for someone to get their foot in the door of sports broadcasting. Applicants must have a basic knowledge of computers and broadcast equipment, and know the games of football, basketball, and other high school athletics. Basically, be a fan of the game.
Back out to Harris for two. It's good!
To apply, contact Gabe at 580-225-9696 or swing by the Paragon Studios at 220 South Pioneer in Elk City.
Great pass, and it works! Backdoor cut, just like Mama ordered, folks.
Come join the exciting world of sports broadcasting by joining our team at Paragon Communications.
Taking a three for the win. Got it!
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Welcome back to the, well, for the next couple of segments, it's going to be the Jimmy Show.
There you go.
Jimmy's a good name around here. And I wanted to talk about two of my new sponsors on the show, Barnes Feedlot, Feed Service, not Feedlot, but the Feed Service out of Hobart. And also, Hobart Farm and Garden is going to be my hourly sponsor of the weather. So anytime I talk about the weather, that's brought to you by the Hobart Farm and Garden. And welcome to the show down there at Hobart. I love my Kiowa County people. There's good people down there in Kiowa County. Current weather is 79 degrees. Humidity 75%. The winds are still out of the east, now northeast at 5 to 7 miles an hour. There's gusts up to 7 miles an hour. I don't even know how they can measure that, but anyway,
that's not a gust in Western Oklahoma.
No, this is a calm. I'd be on the golf course just let you do the show.
Yeah.
Anyway, guess what happened yesterday?
What happened?
My first ever eagle.
Really?
Yeah, I was on number 7 at Sayre. I hit one in the trees off my tee. I took a driver, knocked it out of the trees, and then I had a 176-yard shot into the green, and it was one of my very few good shots yesterday. Knocked it in the hole, and then I triple bogeyed the next hole. Hey,
that's golf.
But I won $3 off that eagle.
That's right.
So that was enough for one beer. So, but anyway, so welcome to the show, Mr. Jimmy.
Glad to be here, Jimmy.
And you're from Leedy. You're out of Dewey County.
Yep.
And that's the county of my family.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's my family. My grandma and grandpa back in the land rush settled on a farm where the Orgain Dairy used to be.
Okay.
That was our original homestead. And had cousins, Jimmy and Christine Wilson.
Yep.
They're my first cousins. Jimmy passed here not too long ago, but I was named after him.
Oh, okay.
And so Christine was one of my favorite cousins of all time. She's a beautiful woman, nicest person she could ever be. But you got a new. Tell us a little bit about you and Leedy, though, first.
Yeah, so I'm born and raised there all my life, and started farming, put my first wheat crop in at 9. And so I've been around the horn a time or two on the tractor and the wheat. So married to my wife, Ginger, 39 years ago, and we settled in and made a living there. I've done a lot of things over the years, but ag and farming's the big constant.
Well, you I seen you on a deal 2 or 3 years ago, and I'm fascinated with what you do because I'm a no-till person.
Sure.
And one of the main reasons is because my farm is in pure blow sand.
Yep.
And no-till goes a long ways in that. And but there's you got a new job. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So during the previous administration of President Trump, I served at USDA for 5-state regional coordinator with that. And when that came to an end, Trey Lamb, the executive director of the Conservation Commission, hit me up to go to work for them. And so now
That's for Oklahoma. Yep.
And so now I'm the coordinator for mentoring in Oklahoma, where I work with producers like yourself and others that to help them understand soil health and conservation and no-till and cover crops and everything. Plus, we got a big project with General Mills that I'm in charge of with mentors and selected mentors and working with them.
Well, congratulations on your new job.
Yeah.
You guys just had a field day right here in North Elk City. I'm the famous cotton farmer, Mr. Jimmy Smith.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep talking about him until he comes on.
Yeah, I told him he had to come down. So, the Jimmy Jimmy Show.
Yeah, the Jimmy Show. So we could, because I got a lot of Jimmy shows this week. Jimmy Taylor will be in the Ag Studio Thursday. He just fresh back from Nashville from the Cattlemen's Association deal up there.
Yeah, and, NCBA.
Yep, and it's going to be a good day. So what did you guys, Cassandra talked a little bit about Friday.
Yep.
But I know one of the classes was with you. What was exactly your deal up there?
So we highlighted Jimmy Smith. He's been just awarded to be in the Hall of Fame for conservation in Oklahoma this past year. And so he's been working with cover crops in cotton for 20 some years, and we wanted to highlight him and what his work was doing there and how his soil's not blowing away like it used to, or eroding away with water. They've been growing great cotton for, like I said, several years with rye and really doing tremendous work. And so we spent the morning up there in the field and talking about his practices and how he gets the rye planted with the drill in standing cotton and then harvesting. And then we went down and had classroom where we talked about new technologies and irrigation, some producers in the area where this new technology actually clamps onto the stalk, measures the diameter of the stalk. So when it's wet, it swells. When it's dry, it shrinks. So it tells you how to irrigate. And some of the producers over there, one in particular that had 20 pivots, was able to do without 2 weeks of water, and that amounted to about 200 million gallons of water savings. So
that's a lot of water.
That is a lot of water. And so we're very proud of the Conservation District doing that and being a huge part of that. Producers learned about that technology, and there's a representative there to talk about that as well as the producer. So it was a great day for conservation in Beckham County.
Is his? If you're just joining us, it's Today in Ag on 96.5 KCO, and I have Jimmy Emmons from Dewey County. He's got a new job with the Oklahoma Conservation Commission, but we're talking about his field day just right here north of Elk for a few minutes, and then we're going to move on to some other stuff. Is it any different? Is the practice of what Jimmy's doing in his cotton field, would it be any different if we're talking about a wheat field or anything else?
No, the principles apply the same everywhere, Jimmy. It's keeping a living root in the ground as long as you can throughout the growing season. It's keeping it covered, armored on the ground. It's keeping diversity instead of just raising cotton and leaving it fallow the rest of the year. Jimmy's raising cotton, but then he's got a green crop growing before that cotton crop's terminated. So he has that living root clear around till the spring of next year. They terminate it, plant cotton. It's, you know, the diversity in plants and not just a single plant. So, yeah, the principles follow the same everywhere, where you're in cotton, corn, beans, you name it. We grow about 14 different crops now at the farm, so we try to keep covers in between as well. So the principles all are the same.
Well, I was when I was working up there, Ringland, just west of Enid, it's been about 3 years ago, I was following my water line to my water source that we were using to frack, and I got out to check this deal, and I was just like, wow. And what it was wheat growing in corn stubble.
Yep.
And it was the most lush wheat I've ever seen. And it's non-irrigated.
Right.
And then you look at the fields surrounding it, and it was just your normal conventional wheat, you know, with no stubble or nothing in it. And it was three times better wheat crop. And I was talking to that guy that I was getting my water from. I said, who owns that field? And he said it was two brothers, and they're fresh out of, not fresh, but they've been back from OSU 2 or 3 years, and they were using the micros and all this other stuff and the no-till, And I mean, you could just walk across it barefooted if you want to, is how lush it was.
Yeah.
And this is the same stuff you're talking about.
Yep, the same principle. And then, like I said, that corn stalks and wheat makes great grazing because they have dry forage out there as well as lush wheat.
Yep.
And that leaving roots in the ground, so that gives your microbiology an opportunity to thrive throughout the winter. Because much like us, they have to have water, air, and food. And so they live off the roots. So if you don't have a root in the ground, they can't live. And everybody asks me, so what difference does that make? Well, fertilizer and minerals have to go through the biology before it's available for the plants. So if you have no biology, then it's very hard to be efficient with your fertilizer.
Right.
So it's very key to keep that living root in the ground so you can feed that biology.
Well, I got a text, and I don't know if it's for you or for me. All it says is, Jimmy for president. So you need to text in with Jimmy, because, I mean, I could be his vice president, because he's obviously a lot sharper than I am. So I don't. He can run for president, and I'll be the vice president. We'll have Jimmy and Jimmy running the world here.
It would be the show.
Well, you wanted to talk a little bit about soil as an asset.
Yeah, I mean, that's our number one asset in the world is our soil. Without it, you know, where would we be?
They're not making no more.
They're not making any more. Water has to go through it to be filtered down into the aquifer. Food has to grow from it, whether it's a plant, whether it's an animal. We have to have soil. So, you know, we have to look at it as the infrastructure. You know, normally when we talk about infrastructure, we talk about bridges, roads, trains, highways, but really the first and foremost infrastructure is our soil. And, you know, we haven't looked at it that way, and we always invest in our infrastructure, roads and bridges. But what would there be to haul if we didn't have soil and
what
food?
Would there be to build on?
Yes. So, you know, I think we need to start looking at our legislators need to look at investing in that infrastructure of soil and regenerating it. You know, when we originally started, they say our soil organic matter here in western Oklahoma is around 3-4%. Most soils that you test today are less than 1, a lot of 0.5%.
Wow.
And so we've really mined that asset out. And how that hurts us is water holding capacity. For every 1% of organic matter, you can hold around 20,000 gallons of water. So when you get a rain now, we hold a lot less water that can go down into the soil versus what runs off the soil.
Right.
And that in western Oklahoma is very critical. So I think we need to start looking at reinvesting, putting incentivize producers to look and to do more practices with no-till and cover crops and better grazing management as well. And I think then we can regenerate and rebuild our soil where we can get back to where we were before. And we've kind of proven that on our farm.
Well, and I've seen in the last 10 years, I've seen the rotational grazing really start happening around here. I mean, I practice it, and some people, they're not able to, you know, they might be spread out all over the county and hauling cows from this pasture to that pasture. It's not really practical, but there's I got one guy that just texted in, his question is, and it's come up on the show a couple of weeks ago, the no-till deal, does there come a point in no-till farming where you need to go back to conventional for a while, or do you think no-till, if done right, you just continue it on through its life? Because I think North Elk's proof of it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's a big debate about that, but really, you've got to leave residue is the key. If you don't leave enough residue, then you're still going to continue to heat that soil up in the summertime and bake that, and then it becomes hard, and you have all sorts of issues. So, yes, there is times, even I have to do a little maintenance, because we have a lot of feral pigs on right. the river,
yep.
And their tillage is not very smooth when they till it up. So we have to do a little maintenance now and then, and that's not the end of the world. But far as saying, no, I got a no-till for 3 years and then plow it back up and go back to where it was. No, That's not necessary. If you use the five principles of soil health and leave that armor on the ground, you'll build that cushion on the ground that will take the impact of cattle, take the heat, take the soil, make it cool, warm in the wintertime, and that tillage is not necessary. But a little tillage for maintenance, smoothing, once in a while we have some weather issues that, yep, that causes things. It's not the end of the world to do some.
No, it's like my alfalfa field, it's 22 acres, and it's in soil blown in during the dust bowls. It's sugar sand.
Yep.
And it raises great alfalfa. I'm lucky I got irrigation there, but it has not been tilled since 1994.
Right.
And I know tilled alfalfa on there, and I couldn't ask for, you know, until the deer moved in here in the last 2 years, I was making 200,000 plus tons or pounds of forage off that thing every year, which is pretty good for 20 acres.
That's right.
And then the deer moved in last year, and it's cut it in half. Yep. And I'm getting three cuttings. This cutting here, maybe half of what it was last time, because the girls have had their babies. Now the babies are big enough to travel with mama, and they're busy.
Yep.
I call it the Jimmy Clark Chinese buffet down there. So along, yep, with the grasshoppers, I'm having a lot of fun. Well, we're going to talk some more, but we want to be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, August 6th. 1,329 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 338 brought 216. 7 at 489 brought 175. 10 at 612 brought 167.75. 3 at 640 brought 154. 19 at 738 brought 156.50. 6 at 870 brought 112. 11 head of heifers at 331 brought 165. 4 at 479 brought 154. 11 at 543 brought 142. 4 at 610 brought 139. 8 at 624 brought 139.50. 3 at 887 brought 134. Butcher cows were 21 to 92. Bred cows 900 to 1610, butcher bulls 70 to 113, pairs brought 1250 to 1600. Elk City Livestock Auction, South Highway 6 in Elk City, Oklahoma, sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot, one connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
We learned in grade school that 1 plus 1 equals 2, and 2 plus 2 equals 4. So what does quality cattle feed equal? I heard you can be proud of. It's simple math mixed with a little common sense. Barnes Feed Service in Hobart, Oklahoma has done the math and mixed years of common sense into their feed so you get the herd you deserve. And remember, their name ends with service, something they take pride in every day. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Hey, welcome back. And we got a good show going on, because the stuff that Jimmy Emmons knows with soils and stuff he's learned is fascinating to me. And I use that word fascinating a lot because I'm trying to keep from saying something else. But I got a couple things that wanted to go over with you guys real quick before we start. I got a text in, and this guy has 26 bred heifers, black Angus, preg check them 2 weeks ago. They're all 26 bred. Any questions, you can give them a call. 26 bred heifers, black Angus, 580-445-4220. 580-445-4220. Thanks again. And I got one other thing here. Let me bring it up because my phone blacked out on me. And here we go. Tonight, at the Elk City Western Oklahoma Christian School, Mr. Zach Henderson, our new Oklahoma OSU Extension agent here in Beckham County. He's going to be having the first Elk City 4-H meeting, club meeting tonight at 6 o'clock, Monday the 16th. It is the 16th today, isn't it? Yep, I got that one right. Didn't mess that up. He said they will be discussing enrollment and upcoming events for the year. It's open to everyone. They do not have to be enrolled in 4-H. We are currently working on dates for our SARE and Merit 4-H club meetings to discuss the same thing. If you've got any questions, call Zach at 580-928-2139. 928-2139, and give that man grief. Call him and give him grief. So anyway, well, back to soil, Mr. Jimmy.
Yep.
We're back to the Jimmy Show. So we got, we just got through talking about soil assets. And you said earlier in there, so you had a deal going on with General Mills. Can you discuss that?
Yeah, so General Mills invested a big chunk of money into the Conservation Commission for education in four counties in Oklahoma to start with, and that would be Grant, Garfield, Kingfisher, and Kay counties. We're in the process of selecting mentors in them counties, a producer that wants to plant some cover crops to try, and then he selects three or four different producers in his area to be kind of mentees. So we have a little nucleus of people, and I assist them in that project. So after the wheat's harvested, we're planting cover crops, we're grazing them, we're having field day on the 9th, on the 30th in Garfield County, and where we're going to talk about their success there and the mentors and the mentees there. And the other counties are going to participate in that as well. So it's a great opportunity for us in Oklahoma to have a big major food company that says this is a good thing. We need to regenerate our soils. Of course, they're in the future. We'd like to have better grains, better quality grains from a project like that down the road. So it's great that they're investing in Oklahoma, in us as their asset as well.
Oh,
here.
Yeah, it's a great asset. Farming technology and ranching practices have changed so much since the 80s. That's when I can remember. You know, I graduated in 80, and I was working over at Foss on the for the Pitzers over there, and we had 5,000 acres of wheat, 1,000 acres of alfalfa, and 500 mama cows, and then during the winter from the feedlots out of Colorado, we'd get 3,000 on some wheat pasture. You talk about some hard ground. If we had had no-till back then, that'd have been a whole different ball game.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's hard on equipment going through there ripping that pastured out ground.
Yeah. Well, you got to remember and put it all in context. The native range had lots and lots of diversity in plants. It also had lots of residue because the buffalo would come through, they would graze it down, and they would move on. There was no fences back then, and so they went to where it was good. So if there was a fire or a heavy rainfall area, had lush food on it, that's where they went. And when they grazed it off, they moved on.
That's good perspective.
Yeah, and so, you know, they kept it covered. They kept the diversity in there. And we took that out of the system when we started going to just wheat or cotton. And that really cost us in the long run of our soil. And like I said, we've lost our infiltration rates, our water holding capacity. So it's time to turn this thing around, regenerate it, get it back to where it's more functional.
Well, I know down in the breaks, we call it down there west of Willow, that's basically all native grass down there, except there's some fields down there that they put the Plains Blue Stem or one of the varieties of Plains grass down there. That native grass down there is just awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't run very many cattle per acre on that deal, but a buddy of mine here, just south Elk, him and I have the same cattle line, and we have the we calve the same time. We actually have the same bull line for sure.
Yep.
And we get rid of our cattle the same time, and my calves on native grass will outweigh his 50 pounds.
Yeah.
And so, but it's got good nutritions in it.
Yeah, and it's the diversity in plants. Cattle are just like, or animals in whole are just like us. They like diversity in their food. They, you know, you and I will eat a steak, and we'll eat steak, but do we want to eat a steak and that's it for every meal? Yeah, some of us would say say we do, but I imagine after a few years, I mean, that would might get a little old. We like a little salad. We like a little green beans and potatoes with that.
Yeah, maybe throw some chicken on the salad.
Yeah, yeah.
I do like pork ribs.
Yeah,
I'm not the first one to like. I'm a meat lover though.
Oh yeah.
What do you think about getting the governments, ourselves, and the state of Oklahoma, and the government to invest in what we got going on?
Yeah, I think it's critical that we invest in that soil the next several years. I'm working on a committee right now called RIPE, and it's a rural investment to protect our environment. Now, that sounds a little different, but basically it's a group of producers and associations that's got together and says we need to pay producers dollars, incentives to do good practices, and our target is $100 per acre. And that we're developing, I'm on the steering committee to develop practices where it'd be no-till, cover crops, grazing, amp grazing, rotational grazing, that would improve our environment, our soils, which in return will improve our environment, but yet would pay Jimmy Clark to really do that, to invest in you to take care of the soil better than we ever have before. And so that's one of the things I'm working on right now, as well as I'm on the NACD Climate Tax Force. And that's really trying to put out there that we can be the part of the solution instead of part of the problem.
Right.
And so that's some of the things we're working on.
Well, you're talking about this $100 per acre. You know, that'll get a lot of people's attention. But what are the expectations for you guys? What are they going to do? What do you want them to do?
So, you know, first of all, we're trying to get into permanent legislation in D.C. on the farm bill or another bill. But the expectation would be that if you haven't been, or if you are doing cover crops, that there is also an economical and ecological benefit to that, to the environment. And we can show that in data. So as you do them practices, we think you should be paid for that, to do more. And where that's good grazing, where that's good no-till, cover crops, all the principles of soil health. And if we get that done, then we think the producer should be rewarded for doing a good job. And you know, we think that will get the next big percentage of producers to look at this.
Is that got something to do basically with the climate change too? Is that part of it?
Yeah, I mean, the new administration is really focused on climate change, and you know, that has been controversial for years around here.
Al Gore.
Yeah, but you know, basically, we all see weather extremes happening, whether it be drought or big floods like you were talking this morning, local areas 4 or 5 inches of rain. You know, weather extremes are more predominant now than they used to be.
Right.
And so this will help that, because as you increase your soil's ability to take in water, instead of shedding 3.75 inches of that 4 inches, we can take in 3 inches. We're not going to take it all in a big downburst like that, but why not take as much as we can in? And so, you know, part of that benefits as you do them practices on the ground.
I'm not sure it's just my imagination. I pay attention. I'm not Einstein, but I pay attention to a lot of things that's happening with rain, weather, what crops people have on their land. And I was doing this before this show.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell me I'm nosy or whatever I want, because there's some people that, especially over there by my house, that I noticed, because I drive by there all the time, just grow some amazing crops, whether it's wheat, triticale, rye, peanuts, alfalfa, some of the most beautiful alfalfa in the country right over there within a mile of my house. In my imagination, but this year, even with all the rainfalls, because we're already past what our normal year in rain is, and we're just now into August, is it my imagination, or does it seem like the rains are soaking up this year more than ever, and this may be far out in left field here. Is the ground just now loosening up from the drought from 2012, 13, and 14?
You know, that was extensive drought and lots of heat. We got data that shows that our biology is just now starting to rebound in some of them bare fields, because actually we got up to 130 and 40 degrees surface temperature in them bare fields where you kept it plowed and everything, and that really killed off a large population of that. So it's just now starting to rebound back.
Well, I'm on the right track.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like this year, you know, usually we get a 2-inch rain. It's running down my road, washing out spots, but there's not been a lot of damage done. I mean, I'm sure there's certain areas where they got that 3 or 4 inches. There's only so much water, but just this 1-inch and 2-inch and 3-inch rains, it just don't, because I have two ponds down there. I've got 14 inches of rain down there, and my two big ponds aren't even a third full yet.
Sure. And you got to remember that during the drought, our grazing, and we didn't grow a lot of plants because grass and forage out there, and so we used a lot of that asset up, and it's in, so that armor on the soil I was talking about a while ago deplenished during that big drought, and we're just now starting to get that built back up as a whole. So yeah, you're seeing some of the benefits.
Yeah. I have a text in on the KUCO ag line here. Carbon credits, is there any merit to it? Do you know anything about it?
You know, there's lots of markets going around right now. I think there'll be an opportunity down the road for some of that. Right now, I'm not participating in any right now.
Right now it's political.
And programs are just being built, and how we're going to verify that, and can Jimmy maintain that carbon asset in the ground, and can I store more every year? Yeah, I can do all of that, but it's also going to be an ebb and flow, and the data showing that we might not can sequester as much as we think at times due to weather and whatnot. So I'm kind of optimistic down the road. I think there'll be some revenue opportunities, but you know, I tell everybody, if you build your soil, you're going to get some revenue that you never had before. And carbon may be another one, but there's a lot of ecosystems markets out there as well that's going to improve water quality and quantity. Wildlife is a great asset that we haven't always used in Western Oklahoma.
Well, hang on to that thought, because we're going to take a break, and I want to hit you up on that wildlife deal. We'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, August 10th. We sold 808 cows, bulls, and calves. Thursday, August 12th, we sold 2,950 calves and feeders for a total of 3,758 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 75 up to 86.5. Fed cows bring 51 to 72.50. Bulls bring 85 to 103. 2 to 4 year old bred cows, 835 to 1125. Few planter pairs, 1100 to 1275. Under steer cattle, 3 to 350 weight steers, 176 to 211. 4 to 450, 184 and a half to 189. 5 to 550, 165 to 182 and a half. 6 to 650, 161 to 171. 7 to 750 steers, 147 to 156. Whether 8 to 850 steers, 147 to 154.75. 9 to 950 steers, 142 up to 148, and 1,000 50-pound steers, 136.5 to 139. We sell a string of black steer kids right off the cow, weighing 775 and 675, the cattle average, $1,020. Hunter heifers, 350 to 4-weight heifers, 169 to 172, 4 to 450, 159 to 167, 5 to 550, 148 to 156, 6 to 650, 147 to 157, 7 to 750, 137 to 153 and a quarter. 8 to 850, 137, 50 to 141 and a half. 54 heifers weighing 909, bring 138 and a half. Again, very good market with lots of our feeders going north. We work 100% for the seller, never lying to the buyer. For this Tuesday, August 17th, we have 45 bred cows and pairs. Got another 40 bred cows on another deal. More by sell time. We'll see you this Tuesday, Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
It's so convenient for farmers and ranchers to get what you need in one place. The Wheeler General Store is the do-it-best hardware store that carries vet supplies to doctor your animals, high-pro feed, also master hand milling and smart lick tubs. Delivery is available if you need it. And at Wheeler Ag, right there on site, they've got dry fertilizer application with blending capabilities. Wheeler General Store and Wheeler Ag on Highway 152, a mile east of the four-way stop in Wheeler, Texas.
You can also find the Wheeler General Store on Facebook and Instagram.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Does that sound like somebody you knew up around Leedy?
It does.
Welcome to the show, Hobart Farm and Garden. Weather, my Long Ranger, is brought to you by those gentlemen down there. And it's my favorite place to stop at when I'm at Hobart. Not only do they have, it's like a Ace Hardware in there, and then out there in the lot, they got cattle panels, feeders, the whole nine yards. But that back room, they got guns and ammo. So it's my favorite. And he'll deal with you on them.
The complete store.
Only thing missing is candy. I didn't see any candy in there. I got to have a Snicker every now and then. Our Long Ranger, currently it's 80 degrees. Wind's still out of it's out of the northeast now at 6 miles an hour. So it switched out of the east. Humidity 74 degrees, 30% chance of rain tonight and today, and there's rain in the area. Tomorrow, 30% chance, 20% chance tomorrow night. Wednesday, high 89, 30% chance of rain. Wednesday night, 69 degrees, and we got Thursday, 30%. We got chance of rain all week, and I really want to get some hay cut down, but I'm not gonna turn around. If I cut the hay down, it'll rain.
Well, maybe you need to cut hay then.
Yeah, I need to cut hay, because Friday on the show I told everybody this is 20% chance of rain, it's gonna rain, and look what happened. So yep. This year anyway, Friday will be high 95. And thank you, Hobart Farm and Garden, for being our host and our sponsor for the weather this hour. Well, we stopped on, we got about, 5 or 6 minutes here, and I stopped you at wildlife.
Yep.
The thing I notice about no-till crops is the wildlife. The quail hasn't been the greatest in the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. We had a couple of good years in 15 and 16. This year, I'm seeing more birds than I seen last year. And I think next year, it's in preparation for next year for quail.
Yep.
There's plenty of deer around my house.
Yep.
And turkeys have slowly disappeared. But with the no-till system and everything, does it benefit the wildlife or not?
Sure it does, because as you keep that land covered, you also increase the moisture on the surface and in the plants. So you have dew and for insects. That the quail feed on, the turkeys feed on, and earthworms come up on top of the ground to feed. Most people think that they do all their work in the ground. They actually, night crawlers come up and feed. So that's good food for wildlife, birds and stuff.
Reptiles, anything.
So as you build the system, literally they will come. And you know, you were talking about a landlord earlier. I had landlords that was kind of skeptical to start with, but they really loved to hunt and fish, and when we started the cover crop system, the wildlife started coming, the turkeys came back, the quail come back, of course deer is always around, and so now they really love that, and that opens up opportunities for landowners to sell some hunts and some guided hunts out there to get more revenue.
Income, because things, everything, fertilizer, chemicals, equipment, repairs.
Yeah, it's getting up there.
And so, well, that's good. But so how do your new job with the Oklahoma Conservation Commission, Are you paid?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I am. I'm working for them part time now, and that may be turned into full time here pretty soon. But so I'm part time. It still allows me to farm and go speak. As a matter of fact, I'm doing a deal in Dewey County on the 25th at the Conservation District. I think you're going to hear about that later this week. So that allows me some flexibility to still do that. But yeah, it's another good income for me.
Oh, yeah. I was just messing with you.
Oh, anyway, yeah. So. Yeah. Well, we all got to eat.
Yeah, we all got to eat. You got any benefits like health insurance?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're very good to me. It's a good association or agency to work for.
Well, I appreciate you being on the show. And I got a couple more things to talk about. But if anybody wants to get a hold of you or watch anything you've done in the past, because I know you got some YouTube videos out.
Yep.
Will you tell all of our listeners how to get a hold
of you? Sure, you can Google me up on YouTube. We got lots of videos out there. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. My email is jimmyemmons@hotmail.com. So I'm easy to get a hold of. And local districts know how to get a hold of me as well. Conservation districts are really good.
Probably the best way is to go through your local conservation district to get a hold of you. That way everybody's on the same page in that county. Because Cassandra speaks very highly of you.
Oh, we thank a lot of Cassandra. And that board that she works for is very progressive. And with people like Jimmy Smith on there, you know, they're great people. And I'm excited that Jimmy Taylor's coming on. Jimmy's a great cattleman here in western Oklahoma.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Represents us very well at NCBA.
So that guy never texts back, but he was... We got to figure out which Jimmy he wanted to run for president.
Well, you know, I don't think you could go wrong there. Probably it was you, it wasn't me.
No, I'm not the best speech guy out there. I got a lot of so's and ums, as my wife says, but that's why they pay me the big bucks here.
Yeah.
They told me to act natural.
Well, you know, Buck Owens is right on that.
That's why I did that. But anyway, hang tight with me for just a second, and we're going to go. I might have another little bit of time to talk about a few other things, but the Elk City Livestock Auction was Friday, and today the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction there east of Clinton is going on. But compared to last week, feeder steers are down $1 lower, feeder heifers are steady to $3 lower, demand moderate for feeder cattle despite cattle futures trading mostly in the red this week. Steer calves sold 2 to 6 lower and decline, and most declines were under 500 pounds. Heifers, calves, 1 to 4 lower. Demand moderate to good for calves. Supplies beginning to include more unweaned calves. Weather again hot and humid this past week. However, a not so hot front is moving down, bringing along chances for showers, and that's what we're seeing right now. It's coming through this next few weeks. And Lacey will be here tomorrow on the show to give us the technical update, not the Jimmy Clark version of it. But anyway, be nice and cool for the next couple of days. Slaughter cows are $2 to $3 lower, and slaughter bulls sold $2 to $2 lower. Demand moderate for cows and bulls. So I talked to my expert at the livestock auction this morning, and I was asking why the cows and the bulls dropped so much compared to what it had been coming up the last 3 weeks, and he said the slaughterhouses are full for hamburger.
Yeah, well, I just got back from a big speaking engagement trip from here to North Dakota, back around Colorado. The North Country and West is extremely dry. There's large numbers
unloading of
cows, older cows, hamburger meat.
That's exactly what he said, is because of the drought out west and up north was what's happening. It was making the It overloaded the market.
Yeah, I mean, South Dakota is brutal right now, and Montana, and on west in there, and other states are hurting too. Just some that I really noticed, you know, and hay is a round bale up there of anything starts at 200 and up.
Holy crap! And so it's too bad.
Yeah, it's really sad.
Yeah,
a lot of good cattle being sold way too early.
Well, and that's the thing that happened back here not too long ago.
Yeah.
And the hay didn't get stupid around here, but there's enough irrigation in this area. There was some guys selling some hay and stuff. I mean, it got high, but $300-$400 a ton for alfalfa in Arizona.
Yeah.
And California, Same thing. They were about $300 a ton for alfalfa, but that's what he said this morning. He said, those guys, this is round two because they figured out they're not going to get any rain this summer. They have no pasture, no hay.
Yep.
And there's some good cattle in North Dakota and South Dakota.
Yes, very good cattle.
There's some excellent cattle going on there. But, well, again, I want to thank Hobart Farm and Garden and for being our new sponsor on the weather, our hourly weather. So every time I mention that, that means there's some weather coming up. And Mr. Jimmy Emmons was in the house today, and I hope to have him back because he's got a lot of good information. And I was going to tell you a good story. Music's starting to play, and that means it's time for me to start shutting up. But I had a friend from South Carter, has some land south of, or over there by Retrop. He planted his first cover crop this year.
Cool.
And he's so, he said, my weeds weren't zero, but he said they were a tenth of what they were.
Yep.
And so, anyway, so we got some people following your practices. Well,
that's good. It makes great grazing for these new calves weaned this summer. That's what I graze in the fall is cover crops.
Sure. All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KZO.
There's a good mix.
Evacuation chaos. I'm Rich Dennison, Fox News. A number of Afghans have died while attempting to hold on to evacuation aircraft from Kabul International Airport, prompting U.S. officials to halt all departing air traffic.
There are reports of shots being fired at the Kabul International Airport, tear gas and warning shots to keep people off the runway. It's a real humanitarian crisis right now. And we've confirmed that the U.S. military has suspended all evacuation flights out of Kabul until it can reestablish control of the tarmac, which has been flooded by Afghans trying to flee the country.
Fox's Jennifer Griffin at the Pentagon. Officials say U.S. forces have killed at least two gunmen in Kabul in separate incidents. A Pentagon spokesman says U.S. service members will respond accordingly to any threats or attacks. President Biden is returning from Camp David this afternoon and will address the nation from the White House on the turmoil in Afghanistan.